Besides music, I'm very interested in making in the sounds that one finds in the environment, and I do a lot of field recording in cities or or in rural environments in different places. So I thought I'd take this opportunity to play you a few of the recordings and tell you a little bit about them. First, the recording. of things interest me about recordings, and that is finding sounds which go on for a much longer time than we will ever spend paying any attention to it. That's a sound that's probably been going on for 50 years, and it will certainly be going on right now. It's one of the most polluted spots on Earth, and that's the oil fields of Azerbaijan. The first ever commercially, or heavily commercially exploited oil fields in the world, and this recording was made 3 years ago. The nodding donkeys which pump the oil are the cause of the repetitive squeaks and the humming notion that when you have a field of 100 or so closely packed, you can walk around and get a recording such as you just heard. It's actually a, it's sonically a very stimulating place to be. Visually, it's very photogenic as well. And it's sort of an interesting dichotomy to be in such a place and appreciate its sonic features at the same time as knowing what its geopolitical significance is, and indeed its significance for the people that live there in terms of how it affects their livelihoods and lives and health. So the sound of an oil field, much in the news, but it's not something that we generally would hear what it actually sounds like to be in places that are talked about so much. This is another recording. That industrial process is still going on. This one has sort of finished and has been taken over by a different aesthetic. This is, let me just find. This is a recording from Russia, from Siberia actually, but it's an old, a very old industrial town now in great decay. But in the days when it was working more than now, it was a port. It's a port on Lake Baikal, which is the biggest lake in Siberia. And there was a loudspeaker system set up in the town in order to broadcast radio to the people, most of whom would not be able to afford their own radios, but also to issue commands and to let people know when work shifts are starting, and that sort of purpose. That's long since disappeared, but the loudspeakers are still there, and some of them still work. They're on telegraph poles, and some of them, if you go to the base of the pole, you'll find a little microphone with a button on it, and you can push the button and speak your desires into the microphone so that the town will hear. And this is a recording of a bunch of kids messing around with the system. It was extremely lucky that I was recording this. I never had any idea that such a thing would happen. In fact, I didn't even know there were loudspeakers. What I was trying to do, and you can hear that a little bit at the beginning, is record a bird on a wire. That's my normal wish when I go out recording, to record birds on wires. But this one was interrupted, and it made a much more interesting recording.
So he's explaining that if you push a button, you can speak into the loudspeaker or into a microphone which broadcasts around the village. Amazing.
Russ, Russ. No.
Ah, it didn't work.
So obviously you need to know the right button to push. One other short recording from the same area. And this is also a stroke of luck, but I'll explain that in a minute. Short. That's an underwater recording. Lake Baikal freezes in the winter, it being Siberia, but this was April when the ice was beginning to break up, and I was standing on it, dangling a microphone, an underwater microphone, through a little crack in the ice, and heard those footsteps at the beginning of that recording from under the water. I couldn't see anybody. And a man eventually appeared from behind a rock, walking out across the ice, and fell in, right through. And that sound is the sound of him falling through the ice. Now, I describe this as a stroke of luck, obviously not for him. But it was another stroke of luck in that I happened to be there with the recorder on, not expecting anything like that whatsoever. But I was rather relieved, and I guess so was he, that he managed to scramble out and run back to the shore. And we met him about an hour later. He lived in a van beside the lake. His job was to mend the telephone cables. And he had a fire going in his van, a very warm wood stove. His trousers were hanging on the line outside, and he offered us some tea. And I often again wonder what I would have done had that turned out differently with the recording. That is a dilemma. But I will never know, because it turned out the way it did. To finish up this short interlude of field recordings, it would be nice to return to children. And here are some more. This is a class of 6-year-olds. In Beijing, China, in a a school and they're learning to read, the way that they're taught or learn, they learn to read is by having books with pictures and the Chinese characters. But they read out loud in unison as a class. Teacher starts them off and then they continue reading through the short story together as if it were a choir. One of the most bizarre notions of creating sound that I've yet come across.
Thank you.
To record distinctly, but for a rather good reason, that is that this sound is sort of high above one's head, and being on the ground, of course, you record the sounds of the street rather louder. The sound is created by pigeons. There's a tradition of fitting whistles to pigeons in China, not just Beijing. The whistles are about that long, made of bamboo, and they have a slit in them. Sometimes they're double-barreled, so they're two whistles together, and they are fitted onto the tail of a pigeon with a metal ring, so that when the pigeon flies, of course, the wind blows across the slits and creates the whistling sound that you can hear. This was very fine concept as far as I was concerned. It depends upon the pigeons not being wild, such as they are here or in London. All the pigeons you see are actually owned by people, and there are pigeon lofts even on the top of 30-story tower blocks. And out of a flock of 20 or 30 pigeons, six or seven may have whistles fitted, in which case you hear an eerie chord circling above your head every now and again appearing out of the blue. And it's very nice. It's a disappearing sound, of course, as China transforms itself at breakneck speed into a modern state. These are the sorts of sounds that are on the way out to be replaced by traffic noise and mobile phones, amongst many things. But at the time, now you can still hear it, and it's just so odd for a Westerner like myself to go there and hear a lot of different ways of making sound and using non-human means to do so, which it just one has never thought of before. So, very nice. That's it.
Okay, Jonathan Chen is going to join us on the wonderful ancient but modern Stroh violin for our last number. This is the experimental musical instrument of 100 years ago.
Thank you.